Okay, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. It's wonderful to see Stanley and Donna back again from the world of Zoom, live, Baruch Hashem. I'd encourage anyone who's on Zoom, they're more than welcome to be with us on Zoom, but there's plenty of room here, and there are, Baruch Hashem, more people coming back, but there's room for you as well, so please come back. But if you can't, then please do stay on Zoom, that's great too. Next week, I suspect there might be quite a lot of people who are not able to get away from the cooking or whatever and want to be there on Zoom, but we will be having a share next week live. So I will be here, Bli Neder, to give the shiur on Wednesday morning, normal time. And if you can join us, great. If you join us on Zoom, also great. And we'll be talking then, actually dealing with a very interesting topic we haven't talked about before, of the origin and structure of the Haggadah, which will be good preparation for next Friday night. Please go away, we're already on Seder night. Okay, but today we talk about Karpas. What can there be to say, you ask yourselves, about Karpas? You get a bit of a vegetable, you dip it in a little bit of salt water, you're done. As we'll see, there is enough to say about Karpas for probably three or four shiurim, but I think one will probably suffice, and therefore today we will look at that. Just before we start, I'd like to thank our sponsors for the whole academic year, 2022. The shiurim are sponsored for an aliyah from the neshamas of Brana Bas Bendit and Zelik Ben Kalman, and they should have the shop should have an aliyah, and we thank the sponsor very much for the sponsorship. Right, let's start. We've got a lot to do today. We're going to attack Karpas from lots of different angles. First of all, let's look at the... Yes, they should be at the desk, please. They should have some at the desk. If they haven't, then I might have one more here, but I think they should have some there. First of all, let's look at the word. Let's look at a little bit of etymology. Where on earth does the word Karpas come from? Is it warm in here? Do we want? Could someone please ask them to turn the air conditioning higher? Could you turn the AC higher, please? Thank you so much. Now, the first thing you'll see about Karpas is that it seems to have a four-letter root. Normally, Hebrew has a three-letter root, or maybe a two-letter root. That's already a major debate in the times of the Gaonim, early Rishonim. But Karpas, Chaf, Reish, Pei, Samach, is four letters. What's going on? So the word appears once in Tanakh. In where? Megillat Esther, number one. Chur, Karpas, Utchelet. Now these are talking about different kinds of linens which are hanging in the palace. Chur is white, the Mephoroshim bring down Karpas, he's green, we'll see in a minute. Tcheles, as we know, is blue. Achuz b'chav leibutz, tied on with strings, and it goes on to talk about the onyx on the floor and the silver and the gold. This is, but Karpas here clearly means linen. Look at Rashi number two. Chur Karpas u'tcheles, minei begadim. These are clothing, these are cloth material. Tzvonim. Tzivonim, they are coloured cloths, okay, pires lehem lematzaot, and they're spread over the palace, on the beds or whatever. So too the Radal is Rav David Luria from 19th century. He wrote a perush on Megillat Esther. He says in number three, Chur Karpas Utcheles, Kal Yiriyah Shel Kilei Chatzer, all of the curtains of the hangings of the courtyard, of the Ginat Bitan, of the botanical gardens there of Achashverosh, they were all three colours. What were the colours? Chur semelavan. Chur is white. Karpas is yarok kakarti. Yarok kakarti means green, yarok is green there. Now the word yarok, by the way, in Chazal and in rabbinic speak can be a number of different colours. Yarok can be bluish, can be greenish. When they want to say green, they say yarok kakarti. So you see, of course, the word yerek, In Hebrew, and yirakot is a vegetable, but we'll get to the vegetable in a minute, even because the vegetable's green. And tcheles is yadua, and you know what color tcheles is, it's blue. And then he says in parentheses here, the hein simani marota shalom. These are all symbolic colors of peace, white, green, and blue. She'ein behem ha'adam, without any red on them, she'hu siman mare ha'adam v'ha'milchama. Very interesting psychological point. Achashverosh wanted to signal to the people that this is a peaceful party. So we're keeping it to white, blue and green, and we're not going to have any red. I don't know what that says about the colours of flags of different countries as to those that have red and those that don't have red, but it's an interesting psychological insight. But the certain, you know, understanding of this is that it's Karpas is linen, is a material. Where does that come from? So I brought you a little bit of Sanskrit. Because we don't do much Sanskrit in this year, so I thought we ought to put that right. In Sanskrit, the word karpasa is the cotton tree. I even brought it to you in the original Sanskrit, in case you like reading Sanskrit, and I brought you a footnote about Sanskrit's use of the word karpasa, the Levantine cotton tree, and I brought you the species there, Gossypium herbaceum. We'll have a lot of botany today in the shir as well, Indian cotton, common cotton. So too in Farsi, I don't know if any Persians here, karpas is apparently a fine linen. In Greek, karpasos means cotton, in Greek. And I brought you here the Septuagint, for Esther 1:6, karpas is karpasinos, which is the adjective of karpasos, meaning made of linen, and the Latin karbasus means the sail of a ship, which is also made from linen. So you see the connection there, and I brought you in the footnote the ketonet passim of Tamar. We'll get to the passim in a minute in the connection with the coat. In the Septuagint, it's called also karpotos. So you see that there is a strong linen connection with karpas. So where's the vegetable come from? So here's the interesting thing. Karpas is not used in the Chumash, or the Tanakh rather, as a vegetable. It's used as a linen hanging or as a cloth hanging. But if you look here on the top of page 2, the roots, kuf, resh, pei, in Indo-European means to gather or to pluck. And therefore, in Farsi and Persian, karafs means celery or parsley. And in Greek, karpos is a raw vegetable. So you can see already there are two words which are very, very similar. Karpasos, which means cotton, and karpos, which means a fresh, raw vegetable. By the way, very often English words have roots which are much deeper than they show you in the dictionaries. For example, they often take it back to Latin or Greek, because the kind of academic approach is that the world started with Greece. It doesn't usually go any further back, but of course Greece got everything from something. So the word carpet, apparently, goes all the way back to this as well, because it's from a certain kind of plucked linen, whatever. Even the word harvest apparently comes from this root, this Indo-European root. And every now and then I have a sort of a Damascene moment when I look at something and I realize that there's a connection. I had that this morning, and this must have been on my mind. I looked at my fig tree, and I said, because the little figs are just coming out on the fig tree now, and it suddenly hit me that the word fig in English is obviously from the word pag, which is the name in Hebrew for a green fig, which is used all through Chazal for young figs, and pagim now are premature babies, but it comes from premature figs. So it's obvious that the word pag and fig is the same shoresh, it's pei and gimel. I told this to my wife, and she looks at me skeptically, like she looks at me every time I say anything like that. And so I spent the next 15 minutes looking on the internet to find someone else that says that, and lo and behold, I found exactly that on a website about the plants and trees of Israel, who said as a davar poshut that the word fig in English clearly comes from pag. Okay, fine.
There were old settlements in Britain.
Yes. But if you look in the dictionary, you won't see that. Okay, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, so that's enough etymology for now. But karpas has a vegetable identity, and karpas has a material identity. More of that soon. The word karpas is not mentioned connected with the Seder in Chazal. They don't talk about karpas. They talk about other things which we'll see now. Look in the Mishnah number 4. This is a Mishnah in Shvi'is, talking about Shemitah and Maisa. Hafigam, Hayavuzin, Hashotin, different kinds of vegetables. Hachaglogiot, or Haglogit, I'm not going through what all of these are. Kuzbar, now kuzbar already is more like, what's kuzbar? Kuzbar, coriander. Coriander, Shebaharim. And here's our vegetable. The Hakarpas, Shebanaharot. Now here, the Mishnah is using the word karpas as a vegetable. The Hagargar Shelafar and this other vegetable. What's the deal here? Paturim and Amaisras, you don't have to take Maisa from them. V'nilkachim mikol adam b'shvi'is, and you can buy them from anyone on Shemitah. Why? She'en ki'atim hem nishmar, because they're not grown in a cultivated way. They're wild. They're wild plants, and therefore you did the hefka. You don't have to take Maisa, and Shemitah, you can get them from anywhere. So the Yerushalmi asked immediately, Mahu karpas shenaharas? What is this vegetable karpas? And the Yerushalmi answers, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina amar pitrozilin. Pitrozilin. Now, what's pitrozilin? Pitrozilin is parsley. Now, the word parsley itself, I brought you in the footnote, comes from the word petros, and Selin. Okay, Petros and Selinon. Petros means a rock, as in the word Peter. Okay, and Selinon, it means celery. So the word karpas, meaning petrosilia, parsley itself in English is related to celery, some kind of rock celery. And again, I brought you the botanical derivations there. But here the Rishalmi identifies karpas with petrosilin. By the way, we obviously have to have Professor Yehuda Felix, who wrote most definitively on these issues of botany in Tanakh and botany in the Mishnah. He reckons that the word petrosilin is a word used for all sorts of different plants, and he brings all sorts of different derivations as to the fact that the Chazal use the word petrosilin, and you can't assume it means parsley. It might do, but it might mean other things as well. Okay, good. But sounds like karpas is parsley or parsley-related. Number six, Rashi. Rashi has a go at this too. Hakar Pashel Naharot. When Rashi is talking about this Mishnah, he says, when it's brought in Sukkah, Shikorim Balaz Cresson. He says, we call this Cresson, which is cress. Okay? Aval Shel Gina Chashuvu. If it's from the Gina, if it's cultivated at home, then obviously this doesn't apply and you have to take Misa. The Yesh Omrim Karpas is Api. Some people say karpas is api. What is api? Apium nodiflorum, also known as fool's watercress, or apium gravolonens, or graviolons. I can't pronounce these right. Some kind of plant that's linked to cress as well. So Rashi has a go as well. V'chein shamati aval nira she'enu gedila benaras. But I don't think it grows on the rivers, so that's a bit of a problem. So how can karpas shebenaharas be something that doesn't grow on the river? But everyone's having a go to try and work this out. The Gemara, the Bavli, I should say, only ever uses the word karpas in connection with the Megillah context. But it does use the word karpasa as a vegetable. So you see, you have this double use, both karpas, the linen, karpas, the vegetable, and it talks about the vegetable being a healing vegetable, which, by the way, is one of the connections we'll see for Seder night. Some people say that we eat the karpas to give ourselves a kind of a coating before we eat the maror, because the maror may be bad for our stomach, so the karpas is a kind of a remedy before the maror. We'll get to that a little bit later. But in Chazal, in the Bavli, karpas is the Megillah karpas. Number seven, karpas Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Karim Shel Pasim. Chazal take this word kar, pas, and divide it into two. Karim, which are cushions, shel pasim, of fine wool. And I brought you a Torah Tamima, which is very interesting. You can apply a lot of this to other places. The Torah Tamima comes up with an interesting observation here. Look at number eight. Karim shel meshi. Cushions, why did Chazal say karpas is really two things? Karim shel pasim. V'tam drosha zo. The reason that the Chazal give this drasha, bichlal yitba'er al pi mashikosav bali alashon. You have to do a bit of grammar. You have to know a few grammarians to understand. She'ein shoresh b'loshon hakodesh yoteh migimol otzius. Hebrew never has, he says, more than three letters as a root. May have two, maybe have three. Big debate between Menachem ibn Saruk and Donash ibn Labratz. But it never more than three. The alham rubaim, the hamchumashim, and on four and five letter roots, we'll see a five letter root in a minute. Yom HaBachur, he quotes the Bachur. I had to do quite a bit of research for this year. Who on earth is the Bachur? The Bachur is the Sefer Bachur on Hebrew grammar by Rav Eliyahu Bocha Levita in 16th century Italy. He says that, Sheheim Lashonot Acherot. They are loan words, which of course we've seen. Karpas is from Persian. Not surprising that it's in the Megillah. There is a view, of course, that these long root words are compound words. And that's what Chazal always do. And he says, and remember this when you read these words. We see very often when Chazal find a four or five letter root word, they split it. They make a drosha on it. Milim achadot b'teva achat murubein b'chumashim kumo shedarshu damasek. Now what's damasek? So you say damasek is from the word Damascus. Okay, that's where Eliezer Damasek is from. But Chazal saying dole umashke. They split it because they say it can't be a Hebrew word, so it must be a drash on these two words. He gives out all the drink. Or avrech. Avrech. Who says avrech? With Yosef. That's in Egypt. That's an Egyptian word. So Chazal say, Ba, Rach, he came at a tender young age. Or Sha'atnez. Shatnez is a five-letter word. There's very little Hebrew about the word Shatnez, so it seems. Shua, Tavi, Venuz. And they make a three-part split. It means spun and twisted and twined and all that kind of stuff. The Harbekehen, and there are many, many more like that. The Afhacha, Dorish, Alpi, Klal, Zeh. And that's why they say Karpas is a double word. And so now you know a little bit about the grammar, that Karpas is a loan word from Persian, from Sanskrit, but Chazal, of course, split those words like Karpas, Shatnez, Damasik, etc. Okay, fine. Adkan the etymology. What do we know? Karpas is a vegetable. Karpas means linen. It seems to have dual identity. The symbolism of Karpas is linked to this a little bit. Many Rishonim, go over to page 3. Many Rishonim bring a well-known drash, the Rokeach, the Kolbo, the Sefer HaManig, or Ochas Chaim, many others as well, say that Karpas is from, if you spell it backwards, it says, Samach Parach. 60 toiled. 60 what? 60 Riboyim, 60 10,000s, meaning 600,000. 600,000 toiled, and that's the remez of Karpas. So, okay, that's nice, but that's, it doesn't sound like very strongly directly connected. Sounds what? Interesting, because it's from all the Rishonim, pre-Chassidus by many hundreds of years, it sounds like Abyssal Chassidus. Chassidus came from somewhere. They didn't just make it up. Okay. However, more of an intrinsic connection is brought out with the hint that we saw before, that Karpas is the Ketonet Pasim. Look here in Rashi. Rashi already makes this connection. Number 9, Pasim. This is Rashi on Yosef's coat. Ketonet Pasim. Loshen klei milat, it's fine linen. Kamo karpas, like karpas. And he brings there from karpas, utcheles, u kamo kotenet pasim, ketonet pasim, the tamar v'amnon. And don't forget, not only Yosef, but also Tamar, the daughter of David HaMelech, she also had a ketonet pasim, which was also ripped when she was raped by Amnon, and therefore clearly there's a whole Pashanut linking Yosef and Tamar. Not to mention the other Tamar, which is Yehuda and Tamar, where there's also an enormous amount of Pashanut linking Yosef and Tamar, the fact that they both use clothing. Clothing appears multiple times in their life, with Yosef with the clothes that the Yaakov gives him, and the clothes that the Egyptians give him, and the fact that they're ripped off, and the da-da-da-da. And Tamar also, where with Yehuda, she puts on these clothes, her widow's clothes, her Zona clothes, and then her widow's clothes, etc., etc. So there's lots going on here under the surface with Yosef, Tamar, etc. But this link with Yosef's coat is brought by many Rishonim, and Rav Shlomo Kluger gives perhaps the most famous and I think beautiful drash on this, which is, if you haven't heard this, I'd be surprised, because a lot of people have talked about this for the last couple of decades that I've been hearing, which is that the karpas has this double meaning of linen and also vegetable, because when we dip the karpas, that symbolizes the dipping of Yosef's coat in the blood. Meaning, we do two dippings on Seder night. One is the karpas in the salt water. We'll see other possible alternatives for salt water. And the other is the maror in the charoses. So the first dipping of the karpas in the salt water is Act 1, Scene 1. How did we get into Egypt? Because they took the coat of Yosef and dipped it in the blood and showed it to Yaakov. And the maror in the charoses is, how did we get out of Egypt? We dip the hyssop, the azav, into the dam, and we put it on the doorposts, and that's how we got out of Egypt. And there is even a statement at the end of the fourth Perek of Gemara Pesachim, which says that they had a minhag when they took their Korban Pesach home from the Beis HaMikdash. They throw it over their shoulders, like, says Rashi, Sochrim Yishma'elim, like Yishma'eli traders. This is also the same idea, that Yosef was sold to the Yishmaelim, who took him down to Egypt, and therefore there's a lot here. Itamar.
How did you connect Yosef to Karpas?
Ketonet Pasim. The Ketonet Pasim says Rashi that Pasim means from the Lashon Karpas. It's from the Pasim means linen. Interesting. And of course, because we saw the Chazal split Karpas into Karim Pasim. We saw this is all building up in this way. So that, I think, is, to me anyway, the most beautiful idea of Karpas, symbolically anyway, at the Seder, that we're dipping, as it were, the coat of Yosef into the blood in order to explain the story. And of course, Karpas is right at the beginning. And we, I don't know about you, but I dip in salt water. But of course, the minhag in Sfarad was to dip in red wine vinegar. And therefore the idea of once you dip the karpas in red wine vinegar, so that already is much more symbolic of the idea of the Yosef's coat in the blood. The Ashkenazim shied away from anything red on Seder night because of the blood libels. That's why the Taz brings down, they went for white wine over red wine, and I assume that that may be why they also went for salt water over vinegar. The Beis Yosef, later on in the sheet I brought to you, he says that everyone had dips in vinegar. And he said, and I've heard that people dip in salt water. It's like a surprise. Because presumably in Ashkenazi lands, apart from the fact that, that wine vinegar was probably not as easy to get hold of in France as it was in North Africa, maybe yes, maybe no, but the, maybe that they had different minhagim because of the red and they wanted to connect with it or disconnect with it. Fine. Shkoyach. Now, let's get into the main event of Karpas. What do we do with... Yes, in the charoses. Yes, we'll get to that. We'll see. Yeah, that's the azot in the blood on the doorposts. So that's how we ended up leaving Egypt. Let's get into the dipping now. Let's talk about dipping. How do we know that we dip at the Seder? Well, you're all about to sing to me the Manishtana, right? Look at number 10. The Mishnah. Mazgul Okosheni, they pour from the second cup, Vakana ben Shoyl, Aviv and here, the son asked the father, Vim Eindas Baben, if the son doesn't know how to ask, Aviv Malamdoi, meaning the Manishtana is an icebreaker. We'll see this next week. It's if nobody, you're meant to be asking questions at Seder night. So Chazal realized that it's a bit awkward. Everybody sits down and said, anyone have any questions? No, not really. That's a bit awkward. When's the food coming? Okay, that question comes later. Together with how can you expect me to eat this much matzah so late at night? That's another question that comes. But the Manishtana is an icebreaker. The Manishtana says, okay, you know something? Here's some starter questions. If you can't think of anything else to ask, we'll see that next week. If you can think of other questions, maybe you don't need to say the Manishtana, but we'll see now. Manishtana. Manishtana halal has any kol alelot. So the classic answer of the tipping is Shebachol Alelot Anu Matbilim Pa'amachat. Every other night we dip once. Halayla Hazesh Shtei Pa'amim. Now we'll get to that soon. Every other night we dip once. I don't dip every night. Maybe you do. But we'll see, maybe well, that's it's cultural, but maybe the Gemara also picks up. It doesn't mean dafka we dip. So let's look at the what's this dipping in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, and this is where it gets a little bit more complicated, the Mishnah a little bit later on in Aveb Sochem, actually it's the Mishnah before this, talks about what you bring to the table for Seder night. Next week we'll talk about where the whole Seder comes from, but tonight, today, what do you bring? So look at number 11, the Mishnah. Heviu lefanav mitabel b'chazeret. They bring in front of him a dip for the chazeret. Now what's chazeret? Maror. This is the maror. Rashi says, "Kloimer im ein sham yerek acher." If he doesn't have another vegetable, b'tabel chazeres b'charoses va'oichal. So, if you don't have another vegetable to use for karpas, you can use the chazeres. That's what he said, and we'll see the Gemara makes this clear. You can use maror for both, and in that case, you dip it in the charoses, which we'll get to charoses soon. Ad, says the Mishnah, until Shemagil parperes hapas. And only later you get to the parperes hapas. The parperes hapas is the code word in Chazal for what you eat together with the bread. What's the parperes hapas? Rashi says this means, kodem sheyagil la oisa chazeres, until you come to the real lettuce, shehu oichel achar matzah, that you eat after the matzah, shehu mevarech alea al achilas maro. So what's going on in this Mishnah? The Mishnah says, first you bring maror, but only if you don't have another vegetable, you can use maror. And then you bring the real maror later that you're going to eat for maror. Heviu lefanav matzah, because then you bring matzah, the chazeres and proper maror, the charoses and charoses, the shnei tavshilim, and two cooked dishes. That's the Seder plate. Now, there's a lot of interesting things going on here. If I only have maror, says the Mishnah, I can use maror for karpas. What does that tell me? Why are you telling me that? So have a look here in number 12. So number 12, the Gemara picks up on this and says, I'm a Rish Lakish. Zot omeret, this Mishnah surely teaches me, mitzvos srichos kavana. This is a shas topic, whether you need to have kavana for a mitzvah when you do it or you don't. If I put on tefillin in the morning and I have no idea what they are or why I do it, it's just my local rabbi said, put these things on your head when you daven. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin or not? If I eat matzah on Seder night because I'm just hungry, someone gives me crackers and I eat them, I've no idea it's Seder night. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah or not? So says the Reish Lakish, this seems to indicate that you need to have kavanah. You didn't do the mitzvah without. How? Look with me. Why? Kaven the loy the idn chiyuva the maror huda achile. Because since you're eating maror as a karpas substitute, which is not the right time for maror, it's the right time for karpas, right? But brei pri ha'adama huda achile, you eat it so that you can make brei pri ha'adama, which is interesting. It seems that it has to be brei pri ha'adama. We'll talk about hydroponic vegetables soon. V'dil maloy ikaven the maror. Maybe you're not thinking about maror at this point because you're thinking about karpas. You just happen to be eating maror. That's why the Gemara, the Mishnah is telling you, you have to dip again later properly for maror. Why? Because you didn't have kavana the first time round for maror, and therefore it doesn't count. Zot Amerit, this tells us that mitzvah shrichas kavana. That's why you need to dip twice, because the first one didn't work for maror. Says the Gemara, the Isaka Daitach mitzvah lois by kavana, because if you think the mitzvahs don't require kavana, lamanacha treti buli, why on earth would you dip twice? You already dipped once. You dipped the maror. Maybe even in charoses. Ah, it was karpas. Clearly, it must be that you didn't have kavana. That's why you need to do it again. Because if you don't need kavana, why would you need to do it again? Says the Gemara, no. Mimai, how'd you learn that? Maybe that's not the reason at all. Maybe it's for a different reason. Dilma, maybe, I'm on the third line, la'oila mitzvahs eina srichas kavana. Maybe you don't need to have kavana for mitzvahs, and you did fulfill maror the first time round with the karpas stroke maror. Udika amar treti buli lamani. And when you ask me, why would I therefore need two dippings if I fulfill the mitzvah the first time? Kiheich delahavi hekeru litinoikas. And we come to the kids. To do weird things for the children. To do strange things for the children. That's why I'm dipping twice. By the way, according to this, which is the dipping that's strange? The second one. Because the children will ask, you already dipped once, you already did maror, why on earth are you dipping again? It's interesting, the second dipping strange. But Kitem, and if you say, in Kain, Lishmin, and Shariokos, so then maybe, you know, why did you dafka pick maror for karpas? So it says, no, I'll tell you why. Iyashma ina and Shariokos, if I'd have taught you parsley or celery or whatever else it is, Havamina, you might have thought, Hecha de ika shayukaras hudaba inan treti bully, that I only need to dip twice and have carpus when I have a special vegetable. Aval chazeres lechuda, but if I only had moral lettuce, loy ba'ay treti bully, I wouldn't do two dippings. Kamash malan, we teach from this Mishnah that afilu chazered, even if all you have is maror, whatever chazered is, lettuce, horseradish, etc., but inan treti bully, you still need to dip twice, ki hecha de lehavi behi karalitinoka, so that the children will ask about the two dippings. Okay, so we didn't conclusively prove whether mitzvahs need kavana or don't need kavana, but we did, however, say that it could be that the reason I have two dippings is simply to raise questions. We'll see what questions and what answers in a minute. Okay, over the page, number 13, another difficult Gemara, and then things get a little bit easier. The Gemara goes on to say, number 13, Pshita, it's obvious, says the Gemara. If you have other vegetables, you have, let's call celery. I don't know what, who uses celery nobody uses celery? Parsley? You use celery. Parsley? Okay, potatoes, bananas? No, but not, we'll get to bananas soon. Okay, fine. So, says the Gemara, it's obvious that if you have an alternative, let's say celery, then you make brei pri adam and you eat it. And then you eat, you make an alachilas maror. But what if you only have lettuce? Meaning, if you do what we normally do, you dip a little bit of carpus, you say brei pri adama. Later you dip lettuce. Now, do you say brei pri adama again for the lettuce? No, why not? Why not? Now, we'll see, there's an undercurrent of Hilchos Brachos in the Seder. Why might you need to say brei pri adama later for the maror?
Because when you made brei pri adama, you took it to account.
Well, that's why you might not need to say brei pri adama for the maror. But why is there a suffix on the maror? Because it comes after the hamotzi, it's after the matzah. Right? Maror is after matzah. So normally when I have bread, I don't make a brocha on vegetables. But maybe maror is not just a vegetable. I'm not eating it as a vegetable. I'm eating it because there's a mitzvah to eat it. So maybe it's not covered. So it says, if we have normal karpas, fine, we'll make a brei pri adama now, and later we'll say make alachilas maror. Okay, fine. But the hecha de leka elachasa, but what if you only have lettuce? Mine, what are you going to do? When are you going to make your al achilas maror? Again, what's this case? You ate lettuce for karpas, because you only have lettuce. So I'm going to make an ha'adama now, that's clear. Am I going to make an achilas, al achilas maror now? Or am I going to wait till I eat it again in an hour or so after the Haggadah and make an al achilas maror then? Now, Mai, what are you going to do? I'm a Rav Huna, so Machloikas. Rav Huna says, Mevarech mi'ikara amoror brei pri ha'adama va'achil. You just make a brei pri ha'adama now on your karpas. Ula besaif, and then an hour later, Mevarech alei al achilas maror, then you make your al achilas maror ve'achil, and then you eat it, just like you said. Matkil al rachista, Rav Chista comes along and says, are you serious? You're going to eat vegetable now, and then you're going to eat the same vegetable again in an hour, and then you're going to make a brocha? You filled your belly with lettuce. And you make a bracha an hour later. Now you're going to ask me.
That's how he eats it.
Oh, so who's filling their belly? On the contrary, what you want to do on Seder night is eat loads of karpas, right? You're starving already. It's already 9 o'clock, and you're not having dinner until 11:15. And everyone says,
maybe this was down with the Mishnah when it got the other way
around. Oh, good, good. Maybe this was the time, maybe they already ate and they're eating, you know. Maybe, but probably not at this stage, because then the Haggadah, by the time Rav Chisda, was already pretty solidly the way round that we have it. Since you can't do that. Ela Amar Rav Chisda says, first of all, you make a Brei Pri Adama on the Karpas, the Alachilas Mora, and you make an Alachilas Mora at the beginning, on the Karpas. And then you'll eat lettuce later and not make any brachas. Okay, that's interesting. Besura, in the academy at Sura, which was Rav Huna's academy, of the Rav Huna, they go like Rav Huna, okay, no surprises there. For Rav Sheshis, prayed the Rav Yoshua Avid Rav Chisda, but Rav Sheshis went like Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshis actually learnt in Na'adah. He went like Rav Chisda. Although Rav Chisda was also from Sura. I'm not getting into that now. Says the Gemara of Hilchasa, Kivasa de Rav Chisda. We pass it like Rav Chisda, which is that you make the brochas at the beginning. Okay, for Rav Acha, the Rabbah Mahader Ashar Yerakos, and Rav Acha would always do his very best to try and get parsley, celery, something other than maror, la fukin Hashemi plukta, to try and avoid this whole machlokas. Okay, meaning I don't want to get into this. It's obviously a big nightmare. I'm going to make sure I get some parsley and shalom al Yisrael. Fine, but you see a few inches. Because he has two different vegetables, and he makes alachilas maror later on the lettuce, and he made an adama on the like we do on the karpas. Now number 14, I'm not going to do now. It just clarifies when it says on all of the nights we dip once. It doesn't mean we dafka dip once. It means you can dip whenever you like. You don't have a specific regime of dipping. But on tonight we dip twice. Okay, fine. So clearly the Gemara, the Mishnah, is very concerned with dipping, but it never mentions karpas. Now you know that our Haggadahs have karpas. Where does the word karpas appear in a Haggadah? Where do we say karpas? At the beginning, in the order. Yeah, kadeh, ishurchatz, yeah? So where did that come from? Where do we first see that? So we first see that order at the beginning of the Haggadah in the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri, which was from Rav Simcha of Vitri, one of the students and colleagues of Rashi, later the families connected with each other in marriage as well. So he brings that down. So clearly by the 11th century, this is referred to also in Sefer Yashar, by the 11th century we already have Karpas there. But it's earlier as well. If you look in number 15, the first time we see a Haggadah is in the Seder Rav Amram Gaon. The Seder Rav Amram, when did Rav Amram Gaon live? About 250 years before the Machzor Vitri, already in Babel, in the 9th century. And he says in his Haggadah, this is the first time we see a full Haggadah, number 15, you bring vegetables, could go in chama or chasa, he brings some examples, lettuce, or gargira, or karpas. There he mentions karpas, or kuzbara. And again, he mentions coriander, we're going to come into this a little bit later on. So karpas starts to creep in, if you like, certainly from the time of the Machzor Vitri, but maybe from the time of Rav Amram Gaon as well. Okay, good. The children are asking, why are you dipping? What do we say to them? Why am I dipping? So I brought you five options. I'm going to learn them outside because we've got a lot to do. The Bach says, maybe we say we're dipping because tonight we're like upper class people. B'nei Choyre. Like, yeah, very fancy people have little dips before the meal, and they dip them, etc. Tonight we're fancy people. Now, if that's the case, what is the symbolism of karpas? Positive or negative? positive. So if that's a symbol of being Bnei Chorin, what should you do when you eat karpas? Lean. Do you lean when you eat karpas?
No.
We'll see. Okay? So that's the first thing that the Bach brings down. So we tell the children, why we, they say, why are you doing this? I'm doing this because we're Bnei Chorin. Over the page to page 5. But the Bach says, V'lean nira, I think there's a better answer. We say to the children, why am I dipping? I'm dipping because I'm starving. I'm dipping because I'm hungry. That's why I'm dipping. So which, of course, gets the children to ask, well, if you're hungry, why don't you have dinner? Oh, that's a good question. Why am I not having dinner now? Why am I only having... These days, the kids have to be like no more than the age of 6 to actually ask innocently these questions, because they prime them in school, in elementary school, with all of the answers. So the kids actually never really ask innocent questions. Almost never. You need to take your kid out of school for 2-3 weeks before Pesach, so the kid will say, what's this, what's this, what's that, as opposed to standing up with their Divrei Torah to read like 18 minutes of Gematrius about why we do what we do. Okay, fine. So the Bach says, I think we're dipping because we're hungry. Okay? The Bach then brings the Maharal that says, no, like we said before, I'm dipping now because we normally dip now. Because people dip before the meal to get them, their appetites going. The question is, why am I dipping later? Meaning the child asks, why are you dipping? Because we dip when we eat. So then when you do it later again, the child says, so we did that. Why are you dipping it again? So that's the question. So that's what the Maharal said again, like it's on the second dipping, which was, we saw was mastered from the Gemara. then, of course, there's another answer, which Itamar alluded to, which is, maybe, why is Karpas coming? Maybe I need to engineer a Brei Pri Ha'adama now. And the whole thing is to engineer a Brei Pri Ha'adama. Why do I need one? So Itamar's reason, which is brought down, is because maybe the Maror needs one and it's not covered by the Matzah. Okay, so I'll do that now. But the I brought down here a Tosfos quotes Rav Yontzev Bonfils, Tov Ilein, who has a whole interesting question of Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. Lots of Shas topics coming in here. What does it mean, Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? When we have a mitzvah to do, we don't bundle lots of mitzvahs onto one, like, kos, as if to say, oh, let's just get it over with and do them all in one kos. Classic question, classic example. If you need to bench and you need to say Havdalah on the same coast, you can't bench and make Havdalah at the same time on the same coast. That's how the Gemara discusses it. What about making Kiddush and Havdalah on the same coast? Kiddush and Havdalah. Do we do that on the same cup?
Yes
we do. Will we do that this year?
No.
If you're in Chutz Laretz, you will. On Saturday night. The second night, oh, you already finished with that, okay? Motz is Shabbos, okay? I have a couple of students who are Israelis who are going to America for Seder, and of course they're Israelis, so they have to keep one day but 2 days because they're in a Jewish yeshuv, so they have an interesting Havdalah Shaila, which is the Havdalah they'll hear at second night Seder is Hamavdib Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. But the Havdalah they need is Techol HaMoed, which is Hamavdib Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So do they have to run out and take a sneaky Havdalah in the kitchen before they go or is one covered by the other? Yes, sir.
You're talking about the last days.
Not the last days. The first day. The last days is in Shabbos anyway. That's the eighth day. Right. So, but Enos in Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas, so Tosfos is quoting this idea, maybe it's inappropriate to make two brachas on the morrow. Maybe it's inappropriate to say Ha'adama and Achilas Matzah. When do we ever do that? We make two brachas on the same thing? Maybe that's Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, so make a bracha earlier so you don't have that problem. Tosfos says, no, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. First of all, Tosfos holds that the Maror doesn't even need a bracha because it's covered by the Matzah. But he says, and we don't say Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas in this case of making two brachas. We make two brachas in all sorts of places. You can look at that, Tosfos. Yeah, you can, on the matzah, you can think of all sorts of, well, on the matzah, we don't really have any other choice. Meaning, I have to say Hamotzi, and I have to say Alachilas Matzah. At least on the Maror, I could engineer a Karpas option earlier. You can't engineer a bread option earlier. Anyway, whatever. And the Pre-Chadash says, look, we're just dipping in order so the kid gets used to asking questions. Meaning, he says, basically, the kid asks, why are you dipping now? And you say, good question, and you carry on. And and they kind of build up. And why are you having another case? And why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? It's just to keep the kid like hanging on a string. Like, ooh, that's a good question. Let's talk about that later, etc. Fine. Beseder. So we're having lots of reasons why the carpus might be there. Obviously, it's there to get the kids to ask. What they're asking, what we're answering is a big debate. Fine. Now, of course, we get to the washing on the carpus. Why do we wash on carpus? So the Gemara says, number 21, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Amar Rabbi Roshaya, whenever you dip any food in any wet liquid, any specific, well, all liquids are wet, but any specific liquid we'll see, tsarich netilas yadayim. You have to wash your hands. Why am I washing urchats for karpas? The answer is because you have to, because you always have to. Because even if you dip vegetables in June, you have to make a bracha before you eat them. Is this true or is this not true? So just, we had a whole series of shirim, if you remember, I don't know who was in which, at what stage, but we had a series of shirim on Tumah and Tara issues and Kohanim going on aeroplanes. Do you remember this? You remember this? So we talked a lot there about Tumah and Tara, and we talked about this issue. Let me just raise it in brief so that you know what's going on. The Rashbam understands, look, this is because any time we dip in certain liquids, then you have to do netilas yadayim. Have a look in number 22. He says, "Kol shetibuli b'mashkim kagayin yerek." If you dip vegetable, bekutach. Kutach is milk based. It's a milk based dip. We'll see that's important. Or bechometz or vinegar, which was always wine vinegar. They didn't have malt vinegar in those days in Europe in the same way that we do today. Tzarech netilas yadayim mishum mashke. You have to do it because it's a liquid. Shehayadayim shniyos. Your hands are a second level tumah. V'chol ha'paisel is a truma, and anything that invalidates truma, makes truma tamei, matami mashkin, makes liquid tamei liyoth tchila, as a first level truma. Now we could spend a whole week getting into Tuma and Tara, and it'll distract us from what I want to do today, which is about karpas. But in a nutshell, when you're eating chulin, which is regular food, which is not kodesh, as opposed to truma, which is kodesh, or kodshim, or korbonis, then hands, which have a designation as shnias l'tumah, Chazal said your hands have a second degree tumah. Normally tumah goes down a level. You have an av ha-tumah, which is the source of the tumah, like a dead body or a dead reptile or something like that. You have a rishon l'tumah, which is what the av touches. And then a sheni l'tumah, which is what the rishon touches. It goes down in order. So Chazal said, hands are all over the place. You don't know where your hands have been since you last washed them. And therefore, you are going to give them a dip of sheni l'tumah. So if you're eating truma, that's a major problem. Because a sheni will make truma into a shlishi. So if you're a Kohen, you've got to wash your hands before you eat truma. It's absolutely required. However, if I'm not a Kohen and I'm not eating truma, I'm eating chulin. Chulin is regular food. Why do I care? Hands will not make food tame. Because food doesn't pick up truma on a third level like truma does. Come along Chazan and say, okay, fine. But liquids are an exception to the rule. If a sheni touches a liquid, very unusually, it'll turn the liquid into a rishon. It'll go up the ladder rather than down the ladder. And there are all sorts of reasons I've given on the sheet why this is the case. And therefore, if I have liquid on the fruit or liquid on my hands, so then my hands will make the liquid tame, upper level, and then the liquid will make the food tame. Why do you care? You don't have to eat food which is tahor. No, because there were people who ate al kiddush satara. We have to do it because the kohenim have to eat their truma when they're tahor. There's all sorts of reasons why they say we have to do it. So here we have a basic situation. Your hands are sheni, second level truma. The liquid, you're dipping in a liquid. And what is the liquid for these purposes? Have a look here in, let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number 25. If you dip any food which you're eating with your fingers in any one of the seven liquids, which are, and there's a simon for them, yad, shachat, dam, which is, yad is yayin, yud is yayin, in wine or wine vinegar, dvash, dalet is dvash, here means bee's honey, regular honey, not date honey, shemen means olive oil, the shin is shemen, the chet is chalav, which is milk, tal dew, I don't know if you ever dip your food in dew. Dew if you're American. Dew if you're English. I'm talking about the stuff that collects on the plants in the morning. Never tried it. Maybe it's delicious. Okay. Dam, or blood, for people who have a medical reason that they've got to eat blood. Or mayim, or water, if you do that. The lon nit nagev, and you're not drying your hands before you eat it. Vafilu ein yadav noigis become a mashke, even if you don't know that you are even touching the liquid, sarich netila beloy bracha. It's not enough. You have to wash your hands without a bracha. Okay? What would that apply to? If you go over the page onto page number 7, I brought you some examples. Cookies dipped in milk. Shulchan Aruch will say you have to do netila shodai. Cake dipped in coffee. Fruit which is still wet. Grapes washed and put on a plate with moisture on them. By the way, how wet is wet? The halacha has to define how wet is wet. Everything is wet to some degree, so or it would all be kind of desiccated powder. So the wet means in halacha, wet enough that if you touch it with your finger and then touch something else with that finger, that second thing will become wet. Okay, that's what wet is. Apples dipped in honey, cheese fondue, wet pickles, large pieces of vegetables in olive oil, olives soaked in olive oil. Now, fries dipped in ketchup will not will count because ketchup is not one of the shivas amashkim. And I even brought you the recipe for ketchup in the notes, which will probably mean you never eat ketchup again. But the does anyone do this? When you're about to have grapes, which are still a little bit wet, or you're about to dip a piece of cake in do you wash your hands?
No.
You don't wash your hands. So the Rambam says you have to wash your hands. The Shulchan Aruch passes by the Rambam and said you have to wash your hands. Tosfos, which we kind of skipped over on the page before, says, really? We don't even deal in Tumah and Tahara today. We don't have anything to do with this. We don't have any connection with the Dinim of Tumah and Tahara. Even the Kohanim don't eat Tumah anymore because they're not Tahor and we don't even know who's a Kohen. So we don't do this today, says Tosfos. But interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch didn't paskin like Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam. So should you or shouldn't you? So different Acharonim bring down different things. There are a surprising number of Acharonim that actually say, you should. Excuse me, it's a Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramad doesn't even say no. Normally the Ramad jumps in and says, but we Paschal like Tosfos, and the Ashkenazim don't do this anymore. But the Ramad didn't say that. The Ramad talks about, on the contrary, you know, if you're nipping the top of the vegetable, it sounds like you have to dip. Now, without a bracha. The Rambam says it's because it's connected with bread, just like we wash for bread. Why do you wash for bread? You wash for bread also because of Tumah and Tahara reasons. So there may be other reasons of Kedusha as well, but you wash for bread, so if you wash for bread, wash for pickles. Yes?
I've seen the habit that some people dip their biscuit or piece of biscuit in their coffee.
In the copy, yes. Did they do the Tzilas Shadayim beforehand? No. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should. The Gra says not only should you and must you, but you even make a bracha on the Tzilas Shadayim. Against the Shulchan Aruch, who says not to make a bracha. Because it's a suffix. The Rambam says you must. Tosfos says you don't need to. So okay, do it without a bracha. The Gra says no, do it with a bracha. You absolutely have to.
What do we do
on Seder night? We'll get there in a second. The Mishnah Berurah, I brought you in 27, the Mishnah Berurah says, you know something?
So what's supposed to be in the very top of the page, would therefore, in the principle,
apply to the following case? You can have a look at someone else's sheet. You can have a look at someone else's sheet, I'll show it to you afterwards. I need to move on, because I have a lot to do. The Mishnah Berurah says, you know something? You should wash. It's a good chumrah. Everybody needs a chumrah. Our people don't wash these days. Okay, so you could be the one that does without a bracha, interestingly. By the way, many Sfaradim paskin that you have to wash. Rav Avadya says you have to wash. The Ben Ishchai says you have to wash. The Kav HaChaim says you have to wash. The Kitzes Shulchan Aruch says you should wash. The Aruch HaShulchan says, never heard of it. Meaning, I know what it is. Never saw anyone in Lithuania washing. The Ashkenazim and Mamash don't do this at all. And there are other reasons why we liquid, why we makel, which I've brought there. Okay, good. So nobody in this room washes. But on Seder night, do you wash?
Yes.
Oh, Seder night you wash. So Itamar is saying, so what, why on Seder night?
But who washes?
Oh, but who washes? So in your Sedarim, does everybody wash or does the Balabait only wash?
The Balabait.
The Balabait? Everyone?
Machlokes.
You have an argument about it. Should everyone wash? Should you? And I'll say that everybody washes. My kids come around with like a shizzle with mine and they pour over everybody's hands. Okay, fine. So the Shulchan Aruch says, number 28, for Seder night, Noitel Yadav Letzorich Tibul Rishon, you wash your hands to eat the first dip, the karpas, the lo yivarech al netila b'derek habracha. Well, no surprises there. He says you have to do that every day of the year. What about the people that say that you don't normally wash the rest of the year? Why do they wash on Seder night? So the Taz brings down on number 8, the Taz is, page 8, so 29, the Taz is very unhappy. The Taz is living in Poland. And he holds that you should wash every day of the year if you dip your cookies in your coffee. And he says, I don't understand it. Number 29. No till yad of the Tarek Tibul Rishon. He's talking about Seder night now. I'll tell you why you wash for carpus, because you have to wash every day of the year if you dip in anything, in any food, in liquid. Mikan yesh tochachas megula. This is an open rebuke, he says. For people who are not careful the whole year round, they're not careful to wash before they dip in a liquid. Why is this night different from every other day of the year? You should be washing every day of the year to dip your vegetables. The imbala tahir atzma. Oh, and if you say, tonight I want to be frum. Tonight I want to be machmir. Okay? Tvei belayla zo. Because I want to be machmir. Have a leli izah, I call parim, but you made a tshuva. So I'll tell you when to be machmir. Be machmir before Yom Kippur. You're obviously not doing it to be machmir because I don't see you doing this on the 5th of Tishrei. Okay? So why aren't you then? Shedisharim hakol, because everyone's trying to be from then. Lechol pashal Yisrael davka, you eat only pas Yisrael, etc. Elavadai, I'll tell you why people wash tonight and not every other day of the year. Because they're hypocrites, that's why. Elavadai she'ein kan elechisaron zehiras. People are just not being careful. Ve'ein medaklikin lehashvot midoseihim. And they're not consistent either. There you are. Taz obviously got very forbrent about this. That this is something that everybody does. The Lavush says, he was living in Poland, the similar time that has a little bit later. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody washes all the time, all year round, and on Seder night, well, first of all, he says everyone washes on Seder night, and then he says, he thinks you should wash the whole year. But then third line, he says, the Esher, maybe the reason people do it on Seder night, Mishum Chibas HaRegel, because they're excited that it's Pesach. V'shehu Tibul Shel Mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah? Karpus is a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, why aren't I saying Asheki Nishanu mitzvah Savis Vanu Alakilas Karpus? We'll get to that in a minute. Nagu Atman Afsham Batahari Yosef. So we're extra tahor, because even though people don't do it, which by the way he thinks they should do the rest of the year. Well, Akach Nutli Yedehem, therefore they wash their hands for Karpus, Umavarchin al Natilas Yadayim, and they make Natilas Yadayim. Little zeh for this little zeh, the chenis pashas and minag, and everyone makes a bracha. Now, the Levush is seder. Not only you can imagine at the Taz is seder, you would have had a conversation about how outrageous it is that nobody does this the rest of the year. At the Levush is seder, he would have said you have to wash with a bracha, and that's what you should do the whole year. Passing like the Gon. I mean, the Gon came after the Levush, but there were a significant number of people who pasken that you have to make anatil shadayim even on dipping in liquid on seder night. And the whole of the year. And the Levush's Haggadah has Al Natilas Yadayim at this point. Not later. He doesn't make another Al Natilas Yadayim later for the bread. He washes without Al Natilas Yadayim because you already made Al Natilas Yadayim. But do you know that your hands are still good? Meaning, when you wash now, somebody speaks, oh, so they wash again, like a regular, you know, day. So now you're going to wash now for Karpas, and an hour and a half later, you're going to say, no, it's good, my hands are good. Or you're gonna wash without a broch? How does that work? So it's an interesting question. We don't do that. We make our answer time later, etc. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, you can give the answer that you always give. The Aruch HaShulchan is the one that says that nobody washes any time. So why do you wash tonight? To make the children ask. Meaning the children are asking, well, why do you wash for this now when we don't normally wash for vegetables? Oh, perfect. The Nitziv famously says, I do not got much time, sorry. The Nitziv famously says, because we're making out that we're in the Mikdash. Seder night is like back to the Korban Pesach, and therefore, even though you don't do it the rest of the year, it's kedai to do it on Seder night because we're reenacting the way we used to do things, which is a very nice idea. Okay, let's talk about some ingredients. What should you use for karpas? So I brought you la halacha, any vegetable will do, as long as it's brekri, ha'adama, that's what the Rambam says in Perush HaMishnayos. That, of course, rules out your hydroponics, if you're into hydroponic tomatoes, meaning grown in water, you can't use them for karpas because they're shehakol. There are also those that say the vegetables you grow in your house, in pots inside your house, are also shehakol, so best not to use those for karpas either, because the whole point is brei pri ha'adama. So Rav Amram Gon's list classically is lettuce, radish, or lettuce, of course, if you only have maror, we talked about that before, radish, rocket, karpas, celery, parsley, or coriander. The Arizal says you should use karpas and not change, and only use karpas. Fine. Potatoes, Nobody had heard of a potato until the 16th century. So now potatoes took over. Well, good question. How did suddenly they start using potatoes? I'll tell you, the Ashkenazim decided on potatoes. Why? Because the Ashkenazim have a problem with parsley and celery. Because the Ashkenazim didn't usually eat it raw. They ate it cooked. The Sephardim ate it raw. But if you only eat this vegetable cooked, and now you eat it raw, then it's not Brei Pri Adama, it's Shehakol. So the Ashkenazim were looking for a solution for years to this problem with the coriander and with the parsley and the celery. I don't even know if it's Brei Pri Adama because we normally only eat this cooked. So potatoes were a godsend. Oh, Baruch Hashem, potatoes came along and then they used that option. What about things that you normally eat as fruit but technically are Brei Pri Adama? Pineapple, bananas, strawberries. Well, technically they're good, but the poskim, many poskim bring down that you shouldn't use them for karpas because it's not the kind of thing you eat in a meal. You only eat this as fruit, etc. I was told that Rabbi Teitz from Elizabeth Dafka used bananas at his seder for karpas to teach people that the bracha on a banana is a Brei Pri Adama and that they shouldn't make a Brei Pri Ha'etz. Okay. I don't know how bananas taste in salt water, but if you went to Rabbi Teitz to Seder, that would have been something you would have discussed. What do we dip into? So I brought you salt water is the minhag of Ashkenazim, red wine vinegar is the minhag of Sephardim. Some Syrians apparently use lemon juice, which is a problem. Why is it a problem? Because it's not one of the Shiva Samashkim. The whole point is I have to dip into one of the seven liquids which require me to wash, and lemon juice is not one of them. So that's a good question. We'll see charosis in a minute as we go. Finally, two last questions. Number one, how much karpa should I eat? How much karpa should we eat? So we have a lot of brochus problems going on here. Problem number one. We already talked about problem number one. Does the Brei Pri Adama, does the maror need its own Brei Pri Adama? Not sure. It's not normally eaten in a meal, but it is after the matzah. So okay, we'll make a Brei Pri Adama for the karpas. How much karpa should I eat? Well, I'd like to eat quite a lot because I'm starving. But if I eat a lot, then I have to make a Brei Nefashos. Or do I? Maybe it's covered by the Birkas Hamazon. But is it? That's in an hour and a half's time, and this has got nothing to do with the meal. This should have its own bracha, in which case I'm going to lose a bracha, achrona, if I don't make a Brei Nefashos. Solution? Eat less than a kazayas. But I'm hungry? Too bad. Okay, too bad. Okay, you have to eat less than a kazayas. And that's what we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should eat less than a kazayas. The Rambam has an unusual shita. We need to talk about this just for a minute. The Rambam, look at number 32. Says the Rambam, Matchil umvarech Brei Pri Ha'adama. This is karpas. You make a Brei Pri Ha'adama. The lokeach yerek, and you take a vegetable. Umetabeloisa b'charoses. And you dip it in charoses. V'oichel kazayas, and you eat a kazayas. Huva kolam esubimimo, him and everyone around. Kol echad ve'echad ein oichel pachas mikazayas. And everybody has to make sure they eat at least a kazayas of karpas. Okay, so two strange things. Number one, he said it twice. You must eat a kazayas, and you dip it in charoses. So the Hagos Maimonius resorts to a solution which is a last-ditch solution ever in commentary, which is, I think this must be a typo. I think that they put this kazayas thing on the karpas, and he really meant it on the maror. Number one, you dip the karpas in charoses. Number two, you eat a kazayas of karpas. This must have been meant to go later on in his line about the maror, and that's why he got in the wrong place. That's a bit of a desperate solution. Came Rav Soloveitchik and said, Chas v'chalila. Says the Rambam has a shita that every single thing you have to eat on Seder night, that's a mitzvah sachila, you have to dip in charoses. The Rambam dips maror in charoses, the Rambam dips matzah in charoses, and therefore the Rambam dips karpas in charoses. And for the Rambam, says the Rav Soloveitchik, this is one of the mitzvahs of achila, and therefore A, you have to dip it in charoses, B, you have to eat a kazayis, because anything you have to eat on Seder, you have to eat a kazayis, and C, you're going to have to lean as well. Because it's one of the mitzvahs of achila, and therefore you have to ask, what's the kazayis, what's the charoses, how does that work? But the Rav brings a whole analysis of charoses. We had a shir on charoses way back, as to how this works. Bottom line, by the way, what if you're really hungry? Can you eat more than a kazayis of karpas? So Rav Herschel Schechter has a heta. He says, you know something? If you're really desperate, and you're starving, then eat karpas, more than a kazayas. But on one condition. You've got a shaila of the brain of fashas. Do you need to make a brain of fashas now, or is it covered by the brikas amazon? You have to keep eating all the way through the seder. Keep eating, nibbling your karpas all the way through to the meal, so that when you get to the meal, it'll definitely be covered by brikas amazon. I'm sure you won't have a problem with that chumrah. You have to keep nibbling the karpas. By the way, Rav Melamed also says, if by mistake you made a brocha anatil shadayim on the karpas, then you should also, now you made a bracha, you should eat more than a kazayas and do the nibbling trick all the way through as well. Okay, fine. So more than a kazayas, less than a kazayas, most people eat less. Final question, does one lean or does one not lean, to lean or not to lean? So it depends. If the karpas is all about people toiled in Egypt, this is how we ended up in Egypt, then you won't lean. Because it's a symbol of the shibud. If the karpas is with bnei chayrin, we dip it in charoses, this is mitzvah, then you will lean. And the truth is, the answer is for karpas, you can do whatever you like. Because even if you lean for maror, that works as well. And therefore you can certainly lean for karpas. There are people who are makpid, here's another nice chumrah for Seder night, to eat a little bit of the karpas leaning, and a little bit of the karpas not leaning. Or maybe just lean half, you know, whatever. But no, you can't really lean half because that's called leaning. But you eat, so within your less than the kazayis, you're going to eat one nibble leaning or one nibble not leaning. You don't have to do that, but that is one of the options as well. But it all fits with how you do karpas. So who knew there was so much to say about karpas? Go away and digest that, pun intended. And next week we will talk, Be'ezat Hashem, about the origins of the Haggadah and the structure of the Haggadah, which is an idea which will change your Haggadah forever if you haven't already heard it before. So I look forward to seeing you then, either on Zoom or live.